really enjoyed it when they took down the bowling alley that used to be next door, and this building could be seen once again. I've always realized it was very beautiful. A shaman meets compassionate helping spirits, and we do that by use of the drum. The drum beat automatically lowers your brain waves from the 21 we're at now to roughly 5, which is usually when we reach DC. Makes it easy to journey to what's called non-ordinary reality, and there you meet compassionate helping spirit. I've gotten an awful lot of them over the years. I'll back up to that in a moment. But I want to start with what happened July 15th. In July of 2015, I was doing a meditation with a spirit that I know. Am I close enough to the mic? No, she says, okay. I love honest people. And stuff was going on, I don't remember exactly what, but I was pretty confused. And it's a spirit I know is Cain, and nothing to do with the Bible, different stuff. And I meditated to him and said, hey, what's going on? And he said, Ray, you're more awake than most people, but your beliefs are 6 sizes too small. Your memory is 10 sizes too little. You agreed to this role. Wake up spiritually and remember what who you are and what you're supposed to do. Huh? Did not know how to do that. That was my intent from then on, and that helped. I got to that point because in June of 2009, I'm also vice president of Associated Psychotherapists of Vermont, and the president of that organization was in the Jewish Arab Peace League. She'd been to Bosnia and put on peace seminars. And yes, I had some 30 years recovery in AA, and it's a very spiritual program, but I wanted to do something more. So I said in June of 2009, I said, I want something more spiritual to do, nothing in mind. First thing that came up was an invitation to an advanced workshop on shamanism. I went to that in October, and it totally changed my life. There are many journeys which are done to the drum beat, and the instructors did the drumming, so you really were free to let your mind roam. And they were all good, and many things happened, and that was all good. In the afternoon of the second day, there was a 30-minute journey. The directions for that journey was, you've already died, don't go through your death, but now that you're dead, what's it like, and keep moving. So I went, okay. Here I am in heaven. How do I know it's heaven? Well, I don't know. I just knew it was heaven. There's some beautiful white buildings around. I'm in a field looking up at them. A lot of people. It felt just absolutely wonderful. Over to my right, someone was carving color. Don't ask me what that means. That's what I knew. And someone over here was creating new music. And it was very tempting to stay, but I remembered the admonition to keep going. So I went. I'll do this quickly. I was taken to the center of the earth. I saw the molten core. I mean, that was nice. So I came up, back up, went to the Himalayas, and somehow from on the way up to the Himalayas, I went by several fields. The only one that I noticed was, I believe it was a field of clarinets for me. Don't ask me about that. Makes no sense. That's what I saw. But then I was taken up above the earth, and things got really interesting. There were multiple beams of coherent light shining up. Some were only about this big, some were this big. And I knew, somehow, that those were beings that were either in deep prayer or deep meditation or were already spiritually awakened. It was just beautiful, absolutely beautiful to see all these. I don't know, I could see maybe hundreds, and I wasn't that high up above the earth, so maybe I could see a third of the earth, or a quarter of the earth, maybe 20%. There are a lot. I was taken to the moon, not much happened there, and then I was taken far across the universe to the Pleiades star system, and I met the beings I call the Whites. They're very tall, they're very skinny, and they're pretty much all white-colored. And they have large heads, but contrary to the pictures we see in the press, they didn't have tiny mouths in Japan. They had wide mouths and big smiles. They were extremely welcoming. I was overwhelmed with the love I received. And I've had, well, contact with them only once since. Then I was taken far across the universe, and I met some beings that were not at all humanoid. I've got some photographs that I'll pass around later, or I'll give them to Kurt and he'll pass them around, we can look at. But they were pastel colored, they were clustered together, they were warm to the touch, about the side, but they were so welcoming. I received so much love from them and joy at my being there. I didn't mention joy from the previous too. They were so excited to meet me or see me. At that point, I think my body started to go to sleep. It felt a lurch. I was pretty far away from my body. And so I decided probably I ought to come back. So I retraced my steps, not literally, but I came back. I came back to the spot where I got into non-ordinary reality, and something happened that has never happened before or since. One of my helping spirits is Tiger. Tiger met me and gave me a full body hug, all four legs wrapped around me. He was so excited and happy. I know I have been on the shamanic path ever since that time. I've met a lot of spirits. I will talk about these. I have taken photographs in the past. I don't as much now, but I went out after a snowstorm to take some photos. And once in a while, I take the same spot roughly twice, and I did. I took one photo, and I moved about 4 feet, and I took another photo of the same spot. When I got home and put it on the computer, there was a white eagle coming in for a landing in the first photo. In the second one, there's nothing. I mean, there's snow, you know, trees. And that, I was astounded, interested. Then 2 weeks later, I went to the K-12 exhibit at the Chafee Art Center. I like to go to that when the kids are shown. The last room I went into, there was a student, I think a senior from the Tech Center, who had made a painting of a black eagle coming in for a landing. Exactly the same direction, roughly the same size as you can see when these are passed around. Okay, what's going on? I mean, I knew this was significant. The white eagle came to me right up close. I couldn't see, all I could see was white. And eagle said, now we can put whole eagle energy into you, whatever that means. And Kurt, I'll give you these, you can pass them around if you would.
Sorry,
I don't have big visuals, but hey. It's only the second time I've spoken about this stuff. So, being on the shamanic path and meeting various spirits, I've met an awful lot of them now. I've also been honored by some that I never worked with, but they show up. Like recently, I was in a drum journey, sort of a meditation biz, and there was a big stag standing off in the distance. He looked at me, that's significant. There was eye contact, but he couldn't do anything. I've been gifted by a fallen deer antler from a friend in Rutland. In the northeast section, I was driving around one day, and there were two deer looking at me under a hedge. They stayed there while I parked the car, and were looking at each other. Apparently, I was blocking the road, so a car came up behind me and honked, and they went flitting away. I moved a little further out of the road, and I looked, they had come back and were peering at me under the hedge. Okay. Yeah. I was gifted by deer, even though I've never dreamed of it.
I just want to speak into the microphone.
thought I would give you a little sample. This is Wolf, one of my longtime helping spirits. And there's an artist. I ordered the drum and sent her a picture of a wolf that I got off the internet that was intense but not angry, and the layout that I wanted, and she painted this beautiful picture. She painted several drums. I've since learned that she always paints the eyes of an animal first before painting it around. And if you were to look at it, you would see the eyes never leave you. It's like a photograph where the eyes follow you, but the eyes follow you there. So I'll give you just a couple minutes of this kind of beat. I don't want to stop. I love it. It's addictive. In a nice way. I've had plenty of experience with addictions that are not nice. I must be speaking fast and ahead of myself. There are a lot of interesting things that we don't usually experience, and I'm covering some of those with you today. I already have. But what's far more important are the spirituality of shamanism. Shamanism allows you to have questions about your life and to get answers. Well, sort of answers. Sometimes they say, well, think about it. But the spirits I meet, they're always compassionate, they're always helping, and they're spirits. And Michael Harner, who was the Foundation for Shamanic Studies and brought shamanism back to the West, it used to be in all cultures around the world. It's in most cultures around the world except in Western culture. It's just coming back. It was continued only in Hawaii and Alaska. And he said, those compassionate helping spirits appear to have no other purpose other than to help us. But we have to meet them, we have to go to them in order to obtain that help. They're very willing to help. They are not judgmental unless you need it. And once in a while, they come on, right? In other words, I'm asked a question, I already know the answer. I meet a lot of animal spirits in one part of non-ordinary reality. Wolf, tiger, eagle, I've already mentioned. Bear was my late wife's animal spirit. And she started showing up in jungle journeys and now works with me sometimes for healing. In another part of non-ordinary reality, you meet humanoid spirits. One of the first was Peter, who was an Australian Aboriginal, Native Australian. I've met several very advanced Native Australians who work with me. Isis from the Egyptian works with me. Berlin works with me. And so does Jesus, the Christ. And I've met God recently, which kind of blew my mind. The spirituality of shamanism and many other programs is what gives it life and healing. I host two drum circles a week, and when those, no matter how you feel when it begins, at the end of it, everyone always feels better. What happened? Are you still hearing? I guess I get used to my own voice. Sorry about that. I wish I could see you better, but that's a very great window up there. I'm often in tears of joy, or close to it. A remember in July of 15, I was told to wake up. And I've asked for help to do that, wake up spiritually. And last summer, well, about a year ago, I started having unintended meditations, spontaneous ones. And now they're very similar to journeys. And a couple of years ago, the upper world spirit started speaking to me anytime they wanted to. Actually, Tiger came to me once while I was at my kitchen table. Never had that happen before. And he said, go out into the forest now. Well, not too many forests around here, and I'm not very steady on my feet anymore, so didn't want to be walking around the forest. But my neighbor has a huge clump of trees in his backyard, so I gained permission to go there, and I went there, and you know, what do? I put my hands in all the trees that I could reach, and came back to the first two I had touched, and had a spiritual experience. I was overwhelmed. And the next day, I journeyed on that and was told that I had met the archetype correction. I was told that now all plants and all trees will help me. And I've always had a lot of plants. My mother did, and I think I, before the move, I had 14 plants. I think I had 5 or 6 left. Yeah. I gave away some big ones. They have new ones. So I thought, well, I only get a picture of those trip trunks that I touched. So I went back a couple of weeks later, could not find it. One maybe was there. There was another one that was only about this size, and it was smooth to the touch. Now there was only a very rough one with the bark lifted up. Okay, so I journeyed on that and said, you know, what's going on? That's when they said, you did not meet a tree, you met the archetype of tree. It was only there for you to meet, and it isn't there anymore. Last summer, trying to wake up, and I, yeah, how do you do that? I didn't know. But I lay down, I had a spontaneous meditation. Light appeared from the ceiling, white light. Was going over there and gradually moved over and came down. My eyes were open when I saw the light. I mean, I couldn't. Mind's eye, even though my eyes were looking at it. Everything I say was mind's eye. I've never physically seen anything, well, except that tree that I saw. And the Holy Spirit came into me, I was told. And I got here early today and I walked all around the sanctuary. Did a little of my sounding, which I think of as singing, and other people think of as sound, I think. And the Holy Spirit in the beginning, it's here with us now. And I ask that only perfect love, wisdom, and truth be with us here today. And it is. Another time last summer, maybe a month or so later, again I lay down to take a breath, to take a nap. And golden light covered one wall of my room. Again, mind light. And I was spiritually awakened for about even a minute or 2 minutes. It was fantastic. Everything was peaceful. There was no rush, no pressure, no time. It was the most peaceful experience I probably ever felt. I have the memory of that, but I cannot re-experience it. I'm not able to do that. But for a little while, I knew what I was aiming for. So I have done a lot of praying, a lot of drum journeying, a lot of meditating, a lot of questions to Spirit. And they kept assuring me that they were using fear of homelessness to motivate me. One other time they wanted me to learn something and they kept making me sick until I learned it. And their comment on that was, well, it could have made you mentally ill. We thought physically it would be better. Thanks a lot, folks. So I was repeatedly told, you are not abandoned. We know what you need. focus on it. And in AA we learn, well, in many ways, AA copies it, the prayer of turning your will and your life over to the care of your higher power. Or God, as I now call it. I didn't want anything to do with God when I first got into AA. I figured he was mean and punishing. Turns out it isn't. Demanding, perhaps, but not mean. So daily, I continue that now. I turn my will and my life over to the care of my own power. Do with me, build with me as thou wilt. Take away the bondage of self. That is such a slave to me, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that I may testify to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. I paraphrase it. I got all the intent there. I've lived on that, lived on the guidance from the spirits, and I recently moved. A friend took me in when I had no place to go. She will be glad to get rid of me, I'm sure. And most of my stuff is back in her basement. I can find nothing. I lost my date book for about 4 days. Dang! Fortunately, I happen to remember what was going on last week. I found it. I put it in my drum case. But I didn't look at the drum case. And I was sitting in the house last week. And I'm moving as soon as I can get a big truck and some strong backs to help me. Because I only had both of those to move me where I am. God is taking care of it. And I have to trust my higher power. I've learned to do that. You know, higher power of God, infinite love, wisdom, and power. And I like the one the Native Americans referred to as the great spirit of the great mystery. God does not care what we call it. Okay. January 23rd this year, I think I had a slight sinus section or something. My left eye was bothering me. I'd done what I had to do that day, and I went to lie down to take a nap. My head hit the pillow, and God said, "You are now awakened up to teach spirit and to heal other people, including your friends." I have 6 friends that have major problems that I want to have. Needless to say, I didn't take a nap. So I journeyed on that, and the answer I got was, accept who you are and the abilities you were given, you were born with, learned, and been given. Do not withhold your abilities. Trying to wrap my self-image around that. And I'll get there because I have to. And that's what I'm told to do. So I will do it. And I have always felt that I should be able to put my hands on people and heal them. I asked about, what was I born with? That was news to me. I was born with a physical defect that wasn't fixed for quite a while, and I ended up feeling defective and secondly. For much of my life, despite what I accomplished, I still had that feeling until a couple of years ago. And they said, once a shaman, always a shaman. So I was born a shaman. They said, this was withheld from you until you had developed enough humility. Become addicted and join AA if you want humility. The only problem is not everybody makes it. It gives you humility. And had awakened spiritually enough. And apparently my higher power decided that I had. I have done a few healings before this. Actually, the first person I healed was a client of a counselor who was a carpenter, and his knees were always locking on him, and therefore he lived on Advil and was using sore. Well, it goes up and down a lot. I put my hands on his knees. I felt a surge of energy go through me. And 3 months later, I learned that he had never taken Advil since. His knees didn't lock and were not so I've healed myself several times. The most traumatic one, and maybe one of the first, was I had a sciatic nerve problem beginning in October of 2012. And nothing I did would make it go away. I actually had one shaman gave me a healing, and it helped for a little while, but it came back. He said, you know, you can't stop walking and moving. And it suddenly got worse in July of 13. I don't know what I did, but I said sort of enough, and it's been gone ever since. So I know I can do it. Part of me knows I can do it. Part of me doesn't believe it, but I will get there. I wish you spirit. I wish you love. I wish you awareness of the Holy Spirit. I wish you joy, because heaven is joyful. And I know I've been there. And, you know, near-death experience folks, they have more intense experiences than I've had. But I had enough for me. So, thank you for listening. Questions, if you have any.
Thank you very much. I have two questions. One is what accounts for all the what I would call bad spirits and intensely negative energy in the world? Given that you have compassion in the form. And the second question is, I'm very curious to know if God had a shape or form or
what has a shape or form?
God.
I did not see him. Just felt energy, that's all. Negative entities around, they come in, there are two categories. Many of what we perceive as negative are beings that are seeking energy, and they grab it wherever they can. They pull us down, it feels negative to us. But there apparently are a lot of them floating around. I've been cleansed a lot by one of my drummers who also has other abilities.